Guys, I'm eating junk and watching rubbish. We're talking Home Alone. Hit it. It was 1990. Margaret Thatcher announced her resignation as British Prime Minister. Bon Jovi had a blaze of glory. Twin Peaks premiered on ABC. And Kevin McAllister defended his home from the Wet Bandits. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Joining me is a Totally Rad Christmas all-star. From episode 2 on the Time Life Treasury and episode 10 on Mega Man, my brother Danny. Danny, how's it going?
Hey, hey, hey. What's up, Totally Rad Christmas in the house?
How you doing?
Doing good, man. Just excited. I saw Home Alone twice in preparation for this episode.
Me too.
And let me just say, still holds up.
I don't think it's ever going to not hold up. It's so good.
Yeah, so freaking good.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those where, like, it's not Christmas unless I see, you know, Joe Pesci get his head blown by a blowtorch.
Oh my God, his face on that part is so amazing. There's so many lines also that we can pick for the impression part.
Oh, I know.
When he gets, okay, sorry.
Oh man, when the tarantula's on his face, his scream there is like the most authentic movie scream I've ever heard.
Yes, I've never heard anything like it. It should go down in history with the Wilhelm scream.
I agree. It's that good. It's, hurry, don't move.
Oh my gosh, you're so good. That was so good.
Marv, what are you doing, Marv?
Jerry, I don't even want to participate in the
anything.
You're too good. You're too good.
Oh man, no, but it's one of those that I remember seeing it. I think we saw it in the theater. I remember it was like always we always had to put it on. Mm-hmm. Every Christmas we had to watch it. And I think we'd watch it sometimes like once or twice, just because it's so fun.
Yeah, it is so much fun. And now it's like so nostalgic just hearing the music. I don't know. It warms me up inside and it makes me feel like Christmas. Hearing any piece of music from the movie is so nostalgic. And
it's so funny because of course the score was done by John Williams and that theme is like so iconic, you know, because he wrote
Somewhere in My Memory.
Yeah. Do, 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 do. And then, you know, but then it kind of segs into that other theme, you know, that, which is almost like the burglar theme or something. As soon as you hear it, it's like, oh, this is going to be good every time.
Yeah, the intro, for some reason though, the intro, whenever I would watch it, I would get scared. it's scary.
A little bit.
Yeah, the music and then I don't know if I'm remembering correctly, but it's like the house.
Yeah.
And then like a darkness outside or something like that. I'm not sure, but
it's all black and so they focus on the, you know, it's as the theme is going, you know, the Home Alone logo kind of appears and there's a little house. You're right. It's, you know, it sets it up and it's just, I love it because it's on what, the Celesta maybe, or the, it might be a Glockenspiel, but you know, you just hear the, you know, and then of course the flutes are doubling and then you get that classic John Williams, you know, on clarinet.
Yeah, no, it's
something like
that. Oh my gosh, it's brilliant. I mean, honestly, we could probably make an episode.
We could do an episode just on the score. Yeah.
But it would be like a three-parter just on the score.
We could, for real. Yeah. Just breaking
it down. We won't. Sorry, everybody. We're music nerds.
We might later. but yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, I remember every time it would come on, it was like it would get me a little bit anxious.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The anxiety would start kicking in.
Yeah.
You know, and then it kind of just, it dissolves, you know, into the house. And yeah, and then the kids are just running around and Joe Pesci's there. Joe Pesci's good. There in his cop costume, you know, he's like, hey, excuse me, you know.
It's so good. That part is so freaking hilarious, man. I was laughing my butt off just watching the kids are like going crazy. Nobody's paying attention to him. The one kid, I don't know if it's Pete and Pete or the other kid that throws the
Pete throws the
duffel bag right at his feet and doesn't care that he's there. Oh, these kids are so spoiled.
I know. He's awful. Like a cop.
They have no cares in the world. See, it like it's kind of difficult because it shows this I don't know if it's upper class or if it's like upper middle class. It's probably upper class.
I think that's pretty upper to me. Yeah. I mean, they can afford to buy everyone a trip to Paris. That's
true.
Pretty high dollar.
That's true. Yeah. We're supposed to associate with them.
$1,800 ticket maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And so like there's part of me that's like, oh, these kids, oh, this rich family. But then they do such a good job of like, actually, it doesn't matter. You grow to love the family anyway.
That's true. Yeah. They do kind of ground them. Maybe upper middle. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. It's upper, definitely.
Well, yeah, the kids, they're just going crazy. And of course, he's like trying to get their attention. But I think, and we're getting ahead of ourselves. We haven't even really talked about it.
Sorry, Jerry.
No, it's so good. It's one of those where like, I just want to talk about it like forever. But I know your experience with Home Alone, but you know, the listeners don't. So what is your experience with Home Alone?
Okay, what is my experience with Home Alone? This is actually really difficult for me to answer.
How dare you?
Well, because I just remember always watching it. I don't remember the first experience. Yeah. I don't remember watching it in the theater. I just know you watch it at Christmas. And I have when I think of it, I always think of you. Because I think I'm remembering correctly that you're the same age as Macaulay Culkin.
I am, yeah.
And I couldn't believe it because you were like in...
I had that jacket, that brown jacket that he has, that big coat.
Oh, I didn't know
that. The brown one, I had that.
But like he looked like such a small kid, but you were like fifth grade or something, or I don't remember. And like, well, so it didn't make sense to me that you look so big and he looked so tiny, but you were the same age.
Well, because we were both 10, but we were playing it. He was playing an 8-year-old is what it was.
Right.
Well, and yeah, I know what you mean. Your big siblings and parents and everything, they always look bigger when you're.
Yeah, there. Maybe that was it. But so I don't remember my experience. I just have always loved the movie.
I just remember seeing him in that coat and thinking, I have that coat, because I hated wearing that coat because it had that hood on the back. But then when I saw him wearing it, I didn't feel so bad.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I did not know that.
if he can defend, you know, his house and he's wearing that dumb coat, then I can wear this dumb coat to school and be proud of it too.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I do have some interesting connection, and that's that at some point I got Home Alone, the board game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it was for my birthday, if it was for Christmas, but I must have really loved the movie when I was younger, and I got the board game, which is probably one of the worst board games ever made. but you played it with me. I'm sure David did too.
Probably.
My big brothers were gracious enough to humor me. and play this awful board game, but we had fun. I remember having fun with it.
And I remember later on, because it on that board game, it had like a not cartoon, but it like a caricaturized or a cartoon style of Macaulay Culkin. Mm-hmm. Hands on his face.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I remember drawing it, and
oh wow,
and I still have the drawing.
Oh my gosh, you got to post that.
Yeah, it was when I was making like my own little superhero team or something. It was like a detective. it was dumb. I didn't have much of an imagination, so the detective's name was Jerry Zaps.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And but anyway, yeah. I remember one of his like I don't know teammates was Kevin McAllister.
I mean, dude, Kevin McAllister is legit superhero. I mean, for real.
He could survive like two attempts on his life from the wet bandits.
Wet bandits, sticky bandits.
Sticky bandits, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. But all I know.
Yeah, so.
Oh,
go ahead.
I was going to say, all I know is, yeah, he was cool enough to be on my team.
Yeah, no, I would take him too.
Yeah, I know. I remember seeing this one in the theater. It was at Cinema 6, I think, the movie 6 there in like across from the mall, on the Plaza Mall there. Okay. I think that's where we saw it, if I remember correctly. And then I just remember the next year we like bought it because we wanted it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, I mean, it was so good. I just don't have that memory anymore, but or I don't know if I ever had that memory. But yeah, I would definitely, I think I remember wanting the video of it. So
it was just, I remember we had the VHS tape for the longest time.
Oh yeah.
Where does this one rank on like your top like 10 Christmas movies? Is it up there or is it like in the middle or?
I don't remember if we talked about this on the last one. I have, let me see. I don't know if I can, it's definitely top 5. I got It's a Wonderful Life. Which I have to absolutely see.
Gotcha.
Every Christmas, I have to see it. And I have Home Alone. Muppet Christmas Carol is really high, but I hadn't been watching it for years, but it's still probably top 5 for me as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say definitely top 5, maybe top 3. It's just, I don't know what it is, but even over It's a Wonderful Life, it is for me the movie that most represents Christmas to me, and especially the themes that are talked about in the movie when Macaulay's talking to the old man
Marley.
Old man, is that his name?
I think so, isn't it?
I don't remember Marley like a Christmas Carol.
I think so, isn't that his name? Old Man Marley, that's his name,
I guess. So yeah, like that whole theme about
check
reconciling
it out, it's Old Man Marley.
Like reconciling with
family
or anybody really, and just and then Kevin, like the things that he says, like, oh yeah, just give it a shot, like what do you got to lose, like okay Kevin, cool, like and this little boy's transformation, which is absolutely insane too. He goes from helpless, being the most helpless brat. Person who's a brat, but also treated very poorly.
You know what? His
very
family
poorly.
Were jerks. They were jerks. Yeah.
Where do you think he learned it from?
That was not cool.
Oh my gosh. Watching the beginning, like, oh, it's awful.
Like they pick on him so much. I mean, no wonder he acts out. And even then, his acting out really isn't that bad.
No.
I mean, he talks back to his parents a little bit, you know, in the beginning when, you know, with the fish hooks and stuff like that.
But, yeah.
But then, like, the rest, they just dump on him. They just
pick on him. And so, yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. It gets me so mad. Every time it gets me so mad.
Wants attention. Nobody's paying attention to him. Nobody's helping him. He doesn't know what else to do. Yeah. And then freaking Buzz, like, oh my god,
man, that guy.
Oh, I hated him so much.
Me too.
Especially being the little brother. I'm the little brother.
I know, and I'm the oldest. You probably thought I was a little bit like Buzz. I'm sorry.
You were not like Buzz, but you know, it probably aggravated me though, like being the little brother and being having less power, being told what to do, and then so Buzz was like, ugh, I couldn't stand him.
Kevin,
so, yeah.
I'm going to feed you to my tarantula.
I don't know what he says when Kevin goes in his room, but he's like, what is he saying?
Do you know how to knock phlegm or something like that? There's a bunch of lines. Oh my gosh. Like that.
Yeah.
This is one of those movies that you could just like quote forever.
Yeah.
Like almost every single line is just a quote. You know, you can just say it.
Is this toothbrush approved by the American Dental Association?
I don't know.
Herb.
Hey, shoplifter.
Oh.
We get that guy that kind of moves back before he...
Okay, sorry, audience. We're just really going all over the place now.
Physical bits always kill. You should see what Danny's doing.
We used to always pretend we were that guy. Jimmy, stop that boy. Boom, and then he goes back.
He goes back before he leans back before he lunges forward. Like he's got to build up momentum or something.
Oh, man. This is already too much. I can't handle this.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's funny because the whole idea of Home Alone kind of came about from John Hughes, where he was like getting ready to go on vacation and he was making a list of everything that he didn't want to forget. And one of the things he thought was like, oh, I better not forget my kids. And then he thought, huh, I wonder what my 10-year-old would do if I left him behind. And so he started writing down some notes, and then eventually that became like, you know, that became like the basis for the entire movie.
Wow.
And, so he knew that his kids were, you know, scared of robbers. So he worked mm-hmm. those into it. And of course, originally there was no Old Man Marley. That was done, added later by Chris Columbus when he did a little bit of a rewrite, just to add some heart, mm-hmm. To the movie, make it just a little more emotional and mm-hmm. you know, kind of get that connection. But, you know, it's funny because I often sometimes think about that, you know, when the kids are just acting up and I'm like, all right, you know, and I tell my wife, like, let's just go. They can stay here. It'll be okay. Of course, I'm joking. But at the time, it's like, oh, let's they can have the house. we'll just go to Walmart. It's okay.
Well, I think you could probably leave one.
No, I wouldn't leave any of them.
If you leave two, then that might be bad. Then they'll probably rip each other apart. But
Andrew and Cece.
Yeah.
It's funny because they play so well together for like 10 minutes and then it's oil and water after that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. That's cool. That's authentic. Maybe that's why it turned out so good. I mean, it's just a little idea. It just came from the moment he was in.
And, yeah.
An organic idea, if you will. So that's really nice.
Yeah, it's just one of those movies that for me, it's definitely, as we were talking about, it's top three. It's like Scrooge, Home Alone, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And right after that is Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yep.
So it's like yep. those top four. And then number five kind of varies depending on my mood, either Miracle on 34th Street.
Right.
Or one of the others. I like Santa Claus, the movie.
Yep.
And of course,
yep.
It's a Wonderful Life is another great one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always like Scrooged, Home Alone, and Christmas Vacation. So
yeah, I dig. Those are some great picks, and I share most of those.
Yeah, it's like the ones we always had to watch when we were together.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, heck yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I guess we could get into it, and we kind of already have been getting into it.
But yeah,
essentially,
lead the way.
If we want to nutshell it, because I like to nutshell, Macaulay Culkin is left home alone and has to defend his house from some robbers. Boom. Nutshelled. Take that. Anyway.
That's pretty good.
Of course, you know, it gets deeper and a lot more hijinks and shenanigans ensue.
Yeah.
Get all like the party fun stuff where he uses like the cutout of Michael Jordan and a mannequin and all that stuff. And he does all that stuff to trick the robber several times before he ends up really having to defend it.
Right.
We also have the emotional connection of like the mom just trying to race back to get to her son. And,
yeah.
There's like so many good things. It's hard to like just go through it because I want to talk about like every little thing that we'd be here for like hours.
That's how it always is with me and you too. But
that's true.
I was actually surprised. The movie itself is, how can I say this? Like, I remember it being, I don't know, I remember it being longer, and but it, to me, like, the now I watch it and it seems like it's just Macaulay Culkin, you know, he hardly has any interaction with the bandits. Like, it's rare. Like, there's a few here and there, and then there's just that one big thing at the end where he has this fun house. But I remember it being a lot more than that when I was younger. But it's just like, it's just a few interactions here and there. And,
really, that's all it is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it the right way, but I remember it being feeling a lot longer.
Well, when you're younger, you can't sit through as long of a movie.
Yeah. And basically, it's like, okay, they try to go in and he turns on the light. And then
they're like, let's get out of here, quick.
Yeah, then another time he fakes them out again, and then they leave. And then I don't know if it happens again, and then they leave. And it's like,
no. So then they go back, and they're like, just wait, staking it out. And he's like, I don't get it, you know.
I don't know, no snakes.
Snakes jumping. And so, you know, and so they scope it out, and that's when they realize. And so they're like, we'll come back at, you know, let's say 9 o'clock. And so then. And so then that's,
and they say it's super loud so he can hear.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they got to make sure they say it.
Because you can always hear what people are saying from two stories lower than you.
That's what, you know, that's what it was. That's the other thing I noticed. Like, a lot of the things are like perfectly.
Well, of course. It's a movie.
I know. But it's like 9 o'clock. And then they come back at exactly 9 o'clock. Yeah.
Well, they're very punctual.
Like, no way. For bandits. Oh my gosh.
The wet bandits. Oh man.
I like when he plays the angels with filthy souls for them.
Oh yeah.
And
is
it Marv or what's his name?
Was made for the that wasn't an actual movie. That was shot specifically.
Right. Which I used to think it was a real movie, and I was talking to a friend and he also thought that it was a real movie, but then we looked it up and it wasn't a real movie. So that's amazing. That's really well done. But what are the names of them? Oh, Harry and Marv, right?
Right, right.
And so Marv is listening at the door.
Oh, yeah.
and then he goes back to Harry and he's like, one of them blew the other one away.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he says it, what? And then he says it again. I would da 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 da. And he blew the other one away instead of just.
So
I'm
90s.
Like, who talks like that?
It's the 90s, man. Like, everybody talked like that. It was like the cusp of 80s to 90s.
And he's like, one of them was snakes. I know that name.
I don't know no snakes. that line always cracked.
Oh man, that line is, that's one of the best quotable lines in the movie. I don't know no snakes.
Oh man, I feel like they should have said that on G.I. Joe or something. You know,
oh, there you Cobra. Go. Yeah.
I don't know no snakes.
Yeah, so that whole bit there is just perfect. Well, and Harry and Marv, the two actors, fantastic.
It's funny because Daniel Stern, he was originally offered the role. He declined it because it was going to be like a little bit extra shooting time without the extra pay. So he said no. So then they got another actor to fill in, and the chemistry just wasn't there. And
wow.
So in the end, they're like, we have to get Daniel Stern back. And so they luckily called him back, and he was like, yeah, okay. And he did it. And now he's like so grateful that he did it.
Yeah. I'm sure he got a lot more roles after that too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those where like, I can't imagine anyone else, like they were cast so perfectly. I can't imagine anyone else being Harry and Marv, you know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Robert De Niro? Cause I think De Niro was even considered at one point for being one of the bandits.
Oh, I guess he would have taken
a very different Joe movie Pesci's there.
You know? he would have told Macaulay Culkin a little bit.
Yeah. I heard things. I heard some things.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Or it could have been Christopher Lloyd as Daniel Stern's character.
Oh, can you imagine that? Great Scott! Or Harry.
that might have worked actually, but yeah, no, I love it. I love it. It's absolutely exactly how it should have been.
Yeah.
And that's what we find with a lot of these great movies that we like. You know, it's magic in a bottle or something in a bottle.
Lightning.
Lightning. Yes. Lightning in a bottle. Everything seems to line up exactly how it should. So.
Exactly. Yeah. But I love, so they're getting ready to leave for France. Joe Pesci is the wet bandit, Marv, posing as a cop, trying to get information about what's going on so that he can rob their house when they're not there. And of course, the kids are trying to get their stuff ready. Kevin has to go pack his suitcase, and he's never done it before. Pack my suitcase. And we get like a classic, like Mickey Mouse scene, you know, with the score and John Williams, you know, it hits that chord. Dun! And, you know, it has that like decrescendo after that, like sforzando. Dun! And, you know, pack my suitcase.
Oh, man.
And, you know, it's like this big old thing. And so he goes around, he's like complaining, I don't know how to pack my suitcase. Tough.
What?
That's what Lenny said. What did I say? You told Kevin tough. I mean, it's just, it's one of those, I could totally say it, you know, say it the whole thing probably. This is one of those movies that I literally, Tiff gets annoyed with me because I'm saying the lines as they're going.
Oh, you're saying them with the movie?
With the movie, yeah.
Oh no,
I can't help
you're that kid.
Sometimes
I used to really resent that kid,
but it's so good.
No, I understand too, because as I've gotten older, I want to do it too. When I'm showing someone a movie, like, hey, watch this movie, like, you got to see this movie.
Check this out.
And they're like, oh, this part, you got it. This part, and then literally 30 seconds later, oh no, this part.
Yeah. That's definitely this movie, yeah.
But with Kevin's dilemma too, I really, I have a lot in common with Kevin. I understand his problem because I had the same issue. I didn't know how to do anything. I was the youngest in the family, and mom would do everything for me.
Well, let's be honest, Hispanic mom, she did everything for all of us.
Yeah,
and I'm very grateful.
There you go. So, you know,
so I didn't have to pack my suitcase either.
Yeah.
Even though I was 5 years older than you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But anyway, so I understand it. And, again, his family, you know, they're all jerks. And I guess,
you're with
I guess
the French call, les incompétents.
that line. Oh my gosh. That line is amazing too. And now I actually understand what it means.
Well, it's funny because later on when he's having his, you know, after he thinks he made his family disappear and he's like imagining all of them saying the same, they're saying the exact same lines except like more mean. And like, she didn't even say it that mean. If you look it back, like all the others are rough on him, but he's just like, hey, what do you know? Don't worry about it. You know, mom's going to pack your suitcase anyway, you know?
Yeah.
And she's just kind of like, more nonchalant and just telling it like it is. And yet later on when he's imagining, you know, her saying it, she's like, you're what the French call les incompétents. You know, I mean, like just really digging into it. And it's like, but she didn't say it like that. Like the other ones you could exaggerate, but she was just trying to be cool, man.
Yeah, that was, yeah, no, I get it. I mean, yeah.
I know you always just blow it everything out of proportion when you're, yeah.
Well, yeah, but even, I mean, it's still kind of rude to say that. Like, well, even if she said it, even if she meant it in a loving way, like, still to tell someone.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it.
But, that is a really nice touch how later on, I didn't notice it with all of them, but I definitely noticed it with his uncle. It was different than the first time he said it, right? Like, so they reshot him or something, or they used different takes?
Yeah, they were all different takes, you know, and they were definitely said in a more mean way.
Okay, that's brilliant.
Because the first one, he's like, Kevin, you're such a disease. But then later, he's like, Kevin, you're such a disease, you know. And then same thing, he's like, look what you did, you little jerk. But then later on, when he's imagining it, it's like, look what you did, you little jerk. You know, I mean, it's just, it's definitely much more,
oh, that's
much
so
more
good.
Emphasized.
I love it. That's great. That's great.
You know, it's
a nice touch.
It is, because, well, especially you think about like an 8-year-old's mind at that point, and he's, you know, what he's imagining. Of course, he misremembers things, and it's always definitely blown out of proportion in his own mind and exaggerated, you know, to the, you know, whatever degree. So it's definitely, I think why I love this movie so much is that it really captures that 8-year-old young kid mindset, you know?
Right. Which is funny, because it contrasts with his, like, sometimes he like tries to act like an adult.
Because then it so shows funny. His growth later on. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, oh, that's, it's just hilarious. Oh man. Love it.
But anyway, they get into a whole thing. They order pizza. And this is where he really reminded me of you, because he was running downstairs going, yelling, pizza, pizza. Like, he lost his mind over the pizza, which is everything you would do every time.
Yes. And it's funny, because I just watched it with two of my friends, and I like, they know I do that too. Is it okay that I still do that?
It is okay. Yeah.
Pizza, pizza, pizza. That's not my impression of him. That's actually how I do it.
That's so. What you usually said. Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah, his hands all up in the air, just waving him around.
The only difference is I would have run down. I would have been the first one in the kitchen.
That's true. Yeah.
That was his mistake.
Yeah. That was definitely a mistake. But we also, I love it, because we also get to see how cheap Uncle Frank is, you know, when they're like, you know, Pizza Boy needs $120. And he's like, for pizza? And he's like, Frank, you know, the aunt is like, Frank, you have money, don't you? He's like, traveler's checks. And then you can hear the dad. And this is something I never noticed till a few years later. He's like, probably has a kind of traveler's checks that, you know, won't work in France or something like that. He actually has another little jab at his brother there
about how
cheap he is. Yeah.
What does that mean? The traveler's check said don't work in France.
In other words, that he's cheap and he'll make his, you know, his brother pay for everything. I mean, that's basically what it is.
Oh, I get it. I get it. I get it.
Because he's like, I can't pay, you know.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's the other thing. The Uncle Frank is, he's even worse than everybody else.
I mean, I get he was talking like a brat, but if you guys ever talk to my kids like that, I would be very upset. And it's just funny. He just yells at him, look what you did, you little jerk. And like nothing happens, you know, everybody's just mad at Kevin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which, so that's frustrating.
Yeah. The older brother Buzz, this was after when they're eating pizza, he purposely ate all the cheese pizza so that Kevin wouldn't have any.
Did he really do it purposefully though?
I think he did. Come on. Mm. If you got like pepperoni and meat lovers and all this other kind of thing, would you really just stick with cheese?
You know? Yeah. And he had to know. He knows.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the, you know, how everything is in the house. So
of course. So yeah, he ate it. And then he goaded Kevin again on purpose, you know, about saying, you know, someone's going to have to throw it up or something. So Kevin gets mad and like runs and pushes him, knocks over some milk on all their tickets. They, as they're cleaning up, they accidentally throw one away. So again, that's why they don't realize that Kevin's not there, because they have the exact number of tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Fuller gets stuck behind a chair.
That scene is incredibly done.
It is like it's like dominoes, like falling down. Yes. Like everything happens. The milk is coming over, so Uncle Frank's like, "Watch it!" And he like pushes back as Fuller is walking back and gets stuck behind the chair, like pinned between the chair and the wall.
It's so dramatic.
Everybody, and of course, everybody's. They think Kevin's a brat. They're just staring at him. The mom takes him upstairs. And this, of course, is when he does act like a brat. And she's say goodnight, Kevin. He's like, goodnight, Kevin. And I was like, I remember every time we'd watch that, every time mom or dad, every single one of them would be like, I'd slap him. Or mom would have said, ooh, I would have slapped him. And dad would always go, tick, tick. And move his hand in like a slapping
motion. Yeah. Classic dad.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so, and then, especially because he says, you know, she takes him upstairs and then she opens the door to the attic. She's like, get upstairs. And then he says something like, I am upstairs, dummy. And I remember the look on mom's face. She was like, you know, just like, oh no, that would not have stood with me.
Yeah.
And that's why we never said anything like that to mom.
Right. No, that's right. I'm still watching it. It's crazy to watch, but it's so funny though too. But the mom, like, instead of, you know, doing something or like saying like, you know, that's disrespectful or something.
Like, why didn't she spank him or, you know, anything?
Something.
Yeah.
And she just kind of goes with it and then like kind of argues with him.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, say it again. Like, what? No, what? Say it again. And maybe
he even goes, I'm sorry. Like, it's too late.
No. She goes, it's too late with the facial expression. Oh, Catherine O'Hara.
Again, oh. Like, perfectly cast for this role. You know, he's like, I don't want any family. I hope I never see any of you jerks again. But she does kind of give him a break though when he's like, I don't want to sleep with Fuller. You know, he drinks Pepsi. He'll, you know, he wets the bed or something like that.
Yeah. and Fuller's look at him when he's drinking the Pepsi.
Oh yeah, later on, yeah. He's drinking the Pepsi and he moves his eyebrows up and down.
Oh man.
Like, come on, kid. You know, like, why would you do that? Yeah, his family, they're just not cool, man.
Yeah, I mean,
so he's up in the attic all by himself and they, you know, they find place for Fuller. And during the night, there's a storm. There's like some wind. It blows over a branch. The phone lines are down, but it also cuts the power. And so they're late. They're woken up the next morning by their delivery service. Or not delivery, like taxi service, I guess. Shuttle service. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. They're Uber, but before there was Uber.
Yeah. It's shuttle service.
There you go. And, you know, so they're frantic trying to get ready. Of course, they don't realize that Kevin's still upstairs because, I mean, they're in a hurry. And then you know, the mom puts the oldest cousin in charge and, you know, she's counting. But luckily, one of the neighbor kids, it's definitely very, you know, coincidental. One of the neighbor kids is they're about the same age as Kevin. He gets mistaken for Kevin when she's counting. And so they think they have enough. And so they take off. And Kevin's home alone.
What I was interested in is that kid was like super amazed by everything that they had in the van. But I thought he was rich too. But maybe, I guess they're just that much richer or something.
I guess so. Well, I mean, it makes sense because remember what Marv says what Harry says.
Silver tuna.
That's the silver tuna. That's the one, Marv. That's the silver tuna.
Oh my gosh, Jerry! That house is
the only reason. what is the only reason we started work in this neighborhood, or something like that?
Yeah.
Ever since I saw it, I wanted it.
that part when they woke up late, that's one of the best musical scenes. I mean, one of the best pieces of music.
Musical cues, it's a great cue.
It sounds like Nutcracker.
Yeah, it's very like Trey Pack almost.
Yeah, they probably, I bet you they had Nutcracker as the temporary.
Probably as a temp track, yeah. And John Williams temp track. He just was inspired by it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely, yeah, you're right. It definitely is. But it's great. And I love how they intermix his score with Run, Run, Rudolph as well, by Chuck Berry. You know, and they're at the airport, you know, it's Run, Run, Rudolph, Santa's, you know, and they're just racing through the airport. But at the same time, we still get that, you know, dun, dun, you know.
I won't know. Now I need to watch it again because I don't remember that.
Yeah. I think you're singing Nutcracker.
Oh, yeah.
That's Nutcracker, yeah.
Oh, my bad. You see? It's so similar.
It is. It's very similar. Yeah.
But so,
I mean,
yeah,
that's John Williams, you know, a lot of his stuff is, it's very Gustav Holst. It's, you know, all that.
Yeah. So that part, that was a great musical cue. And then I also like when the airport the shuttle service guys, like,
go away,
the way
kid,
they talk to the kid, yeah. Like, they don't, they,
do
they
these vans get good gas mileage? For the last time, kid, I said, beat it.
beat it, kid.
Beat it, kid. Not now, kid.
Wait, what was that? What did you say?
I said, not now, kid. I forgot what he was. Or I don't know, kid. He said something like that.
Yeah. They're so rude. I mean, I guess that's the big city Chicago way or something.
Well, they're just, you know, I mean, they got places to be. They don't have time to answer annoying questions from annoying kids.
Oh, I love that.
But I love it. He wakes up and, of course, his wish that, you know, he didn't want any family comes true. He's like, I made my family disappear.
And then yeah, he has that classic line, that's one of the best lines too.
Yeah.
And then I love that line. And then before that, when he goes and checks the garage, this is a wonderful part. He goes and checks the garage and the cars are there. And he's like, cars are still there.
They didn't go to the airport.
And then he does it, but he does the face. Like, it's this like astounded Macaulay Culkin face. And it's just,
it's funny because he just legally changed his name. He changed his middle name. So his middle name is now Macaulay Culkin. So it's Macaulay Culkin. Culkin is his name now.
What?
Yeah. He ran like a contest and I you know, he asked people and I guess that was like what they ended up settling on.
That's insane. He's so funny.
He is funny.
I know he has
a band that's all about like pizza. And so they do like parodies of like famous songs, but they'll change the words to like pizza. And
<That's> so awesome.
In a lot of ways, he does kind of remind me of you.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about pizza still.
But me too. I mean, I remember I had a different superhero team one time that I used to play with G.I. Joe's. And one of my guys was named Power Pizza.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, he would eat pizza and gain some power. And
That's amazing. Are you sure it wasn't a Ninja Turtle?
No, it was definitely a G.I. Joe that I just pretended was.
That sounds like Ninja Turtles on NES, Konami
right?
Action. What was I going to tell you? I watch, there's a few channels that I watch, Red Letter Media and then Angry Video Game Nerd. And he's come out on both channels within the last few years.
Yeah.
When Angry Video Game Nerd did the Home Alone games, Macaulay Culkin came out and played with him.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he comes out and I was thinking about it the other day. This again, off topic here, but I was really thinking like, man, I would really love for there to be a continuation of the story before the two bandits die because they're really old, especially Joe Pesci.
Yeah,
and
I thought it would be cool. And someone posted this story idea online. Because, you know, it's not a remake. It's like a reboot of Home Alone.
No reboot. No, I don't want a reboot.
They're not the McAllisters. It's a whole new family. It's just basically Home Alone. But someone else had a cool idea about what if something happens, it's Christmas time, they can't quite get home, and Catherine O'Hara is stuck home alone. And
bandits
are like now out of jail, and they want to go get revenge on Macaulay Culkin. So they go back to the house. And so he has to like, Macaulay has to like race back from whatever city he's living in. He has to race back to get to her, you know, before the wet bandits like come. I just thought it was like a really cool idea.
Okay,
you know, where like, you know, she kind of has to like defend the house and she like finds some of his old plans and starts to, you know, I was like, that would be cool. I'd watch the heck out of that, man.
That's interesting. I was thinking that, you know, he's a dad now. He's got a family, and of course his dad died, and so that's going to be a theme of the movie too.
Right.
But somehow he gets stuck in the house again as an adult.
As an adult, how would he get stuck in?
It doesn't matter.
Maybe he has to work. He has to work that weekend, and his family is like, okay, we'll go on ahead. We'll meet you there. You know,
yeah,
like you know, you take the flight. I'll meet you when I can, and then you know. Somehow the flights get canceled, and so he ends up getting stuck. And
yeah, exactly. So like somehow he gets stuck, and then we just get another Home Alone movie.
That would be pretty awesome. I'd watch it
as long as they did it right. It would be epic, and you got to do it soon because Joe Pesci's like 80 something or something like that.
Well, I don't know how old he is, but I know he's.
I just looked it up. I looked it up like a couple of days ago.
Is he really like 80? Oh, wow.
I think he's like either late 70s or
I thought
early
he was
80s.
In his 70s, but I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
He might That's be crazy. late 70s, maybe.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, cool. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Off topic, but that's all right. It's not a podcast if you don't go off topic.
These are my desires, totally rad Christmas fans. This is what I think
anyone
about.
Anyone knows Macaulay Culkin? We would love to get a shout out from Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. And he loves totally rad Christmas and maybe something about pizza. But yeah, so he's stuck alone. He's now, he has all this time. He doesn't know what to do. He's eating junk and watching rubbish.
Yeah, that line. Okay, there's another line right there.
It's another one.
Better come out and stop me.
Every Christmas. Every time we make M&M cookies, like the last few years, every time we make M&M cookies and hot chocolate, that's always what I think of as I'm eating. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And watching rubbish.
And that was the other one. Who says rubbish?
Yeah.
And why is this little 8-year-old saying rubbish? I didn't say that in the 90s.
We never said that. Not even in the 80s did we say that.
I've never known anyone to say that.
Oh, man. But I love it because he ends up watching that movie that Uncle Frank wouldn't let him watch.
Yeah.
If Uncle Frank says it's bad.
It must be really bad.
Yeah. But yeah, so he's watching it. And of course, we get that classic line, you know, I tell you what I'm going to give you. I'm giving you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead. One.
Okay, Johnny.
Two. 10. Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Yeah. And then and he I actually love it got
that's
scared.
When he puts his hands over his face. He like he covers his eyes. He's like, Mom, because he gets scared.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, you know, they're flying on the plane first class. And all of a sudden she feels it for the first time.
She felt it.
She's like, wait.
She had her mom sense.
Yeah.
It's probably a real thing.
I'm sure it is. I'm definitely sure it is. You know, it's one of those things. I haven't felt it quite with as a dad yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, dads, I guess in general, we're not quite as intuitive as moms.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's it's just right. Me. I don't know. But either way.
Probably both.
Yeah, a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah, no, that's a great little segue. That's a great tie-in.
And of course, yeah, we get that. What else could you be forgetting? You know, she has this feeling like she's forgetting something. And then, you know, we get that, Kevin! That classic, yeah, another classic
Kevin!
Line. Yeah.
Kevin!
Yeah, I can't do it. It's a little bit above, beyond my range there. But I just, I love how in the flight, Uncle Frank and I think it's Aunt Leslie,
right?
And they're, it's you know, horrible. He's like, hey, this is real crystal. He's like, put them in your purse. Just put them in your purse. Just,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, yes, I'll have another glass. He's like trying to steal their stemware.
He's,
he's a cheapskate.
He has a lot of faults.
But I love how John Heard, you know, he's just like, you know, she's like, did I turn the iron off? I was like, nope, I did. Yeah.
He's so calm and cool.
Yeah, yeah. Did you close the garage? That's it. I forgot to close the garage.
That's it. And then it's not even a big deal. Like,
that's not it.
I would be freaking out if I forgot to close the garage.
Me too. That's a huge deal.
Like, that's huge. Yeah, my cars are there.
Of course, they nowadays you have all that smart house thing, and you can just press a button and close it. But yeah, back then, I mean, you don't have that. That's like you got to call your neighbor, like, please close the garage door for me, you know? and hope that the neighbor answers and does it, and then no one steals your junk, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they had a lot of expensive junk in there.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, so then she, you know, they figure it out, and then Uncle Frank is like trying to console, but I forget what he says. But it's
if it,
horrible.
It makes you feel any better, I forgot my reading glasses.
And his wife is just like, oh, God, why did I marry you?
So they get to the, you know, they get to the airport. They're like calling frantically.
Yeah.
You know, everyone they know, she calls the, the police department.
Oh, this is unbearable. This, for me, this part was unbearable to watch. Like, There's no way that the police. That's the most unrealistic part of the movie.
I don't know, man. It was the late 80s when they filmed it. You know, it was 1990. It's definitely. I could see it happening.
There's no way. Like,
oh, hi, ma'am.
What do they call her? Excited or crazy or
yeah,
something?
Online two. Hyper.
Hyper.
Hyper online two.
Oh,
pick up.
Okay, oh, there's hi, so many man. Things. There's so many things to talk about here. The donut
piece. Yeah,
was that okay? I need to know if that was part of the plan.
I have a feeling that wasn't planned, and they just thought it was hilarious and left it in.
It was on the. It's just on the receiver. A chunk of donut
just falls right onto the receiver of the phone,
and then it's still there, and then it falls to the desk.
And the sound effect that they. The sound effect when it hits the desk. I don't know if you ever listened to it, but it sounds like it's really heavy.
Yeah, it's like boom.
It's like donuts aren't that heavy, but but it like just adds extra to that scene.
Yeah.
But he's so calm. Was a child poisoned, stabbed, or you know, whatever. It's like, I don't know. I hope not. You want me to send a car to check on your son or something. I don't know what he said.
Yeah. Yes.
Let me transfer you over to the. No, they just transferred me over to you.
And then there's a stack of donuts on his desk. Yes. There's no plate. There's no napkins.
I love that guy. Well, wasn't he the cranky upstairs neighbor from Friends? I think he was the same
guy.
Yes,
he's also the one who played Kramer in the
pilot. In the Seinfeld pilot episode, yeah. And he's the character, the actor that plays Kramer, yeah, when they're doing the pilot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really good actor. Really good actor.
And he what did he say? They fooled me, Jerry. And then, you know, Kramer like tried, you know, because it's actually Kramer, he tries to give him tips. He's like, no, it's they fooled me, Jerry. And he's like, I'm not gonna say it like that.
Oh yeah. He's oh my god.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah, that guy's great. So that's the whole police department is a mess.
Well, they send someone over. He knocks.
Yeah, and then he's
but he just kind of looks through the window a little bit. He doesn't really do like a thorough search.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't announce himself like, "Hey, it's the police."
Right. I
mean, you know, nothing. He literally just bangs on the door, kind of peeks through the window a little bit. He's like, "The house looks secure, you know. Tell them to count their kids again."
Yeah. No, I can't deal with that. That's so bad. Can you imagine if the cops did that to you? That's so upsetting.
A lawsuit. Sorry, I sneezed.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what, you know, they had to do that for the plot. But
it probably wouldn't sue because they'd totally.
You know what I was going to say?
For leaving them there.
Yeah.
CPS would be called.
Yeah. I was going to say that at the beginning when you did it in a nutshell, you said that Kevin had to defend his house.
He didn't have to. No.
I was like, he did not have to.
He chose to. He could have just called the cops.
All he had to do was call the cops. Problem solved. What the heck?
Well, remember, he thinks at this point, he thinks it's actually his house. He's like, it's my house. I have to defend it.
What?
It still doesn't make any sense, but you know, there's a certain pride you get when you're a homeowner. It's your house.
I don't know. I don't think I've had that pride. I think I just am more scared. You know.
I think you're right. It's more like, oh, I got to pay this bill. No, you're right. He didn't have to do anything. But,
but then
the movie would be over, and it wouldn't be as fun.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I agree. Never mind.
Yeah.
Retract my statement.
Of course, we get a couple of nights of the wet bandits trying to break in. The first night, he just turns the lights on. And, of course, that's about it. You know, scares him away. Second night, you know, he's like, okay, I got to be prepared. So he arranges this elaborate fake party. He sets up a train. With a Michael Jordan cutout, like taped or strapped to it somehow, that's spinning
awesome.
Around, so it looks like someone's walking. He's got like a one of those dolls, you know, a mannequin, that you know, like a dressing gown doll kind of a thing, just mm-hmm. you know, attached to some string, so it looks like it's, you know, move in. And I think he's got another one on like the record player. So
yeah,
it's rotating.
The record player.
There's like a whole, he really goes all out on it.
Yeah.
He's very, you know what? I got to say, he is very inventive. So I like to think he grew up to be like some sort of inventor or something, you know. I mean, he's an engineer. Cause,
he
I
would
mean,
definitely, on your superhero team, he would be like the Donatello coming up with gadgets.
Like
devices.
The MacGyver kind of guy.
Yeah. No, definitely. That's really cool.
Funny because later on, Cece and I, we kind of have a little, a couple of years ago, we started writing a story about like the ultimate Christmas superhero team. So, of course, Santa's the leader. Then there's like Rudolph and Frosty. Then all the ghosts of Christmas, you know, past, present, and future.
Right.
The Grinch, because he turns good at the end.
Right.
And of course, Kevin McAllister's got to be on there.
Yeah. No, again, totally. Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
And
good job,
there's a
CC.
Few others there, Heat Miser, Snow Miser, and a few others. But anyway.
Well, and I like the song they play there too.
Rocking Around the Christmas
Tree. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Great, great choice.
Yeah.
Love that song.
But while he's busy doing that during the daytime, he's also busy trying to live. And so
right.
Breaks into, you know, Buzz's room. He realizes he needs money. He knows Buzz has a secret stash. Mm-hmm. So he goes into Buzz's room, climbs his shelf, of course, breaks it. And that's what causes the tarantula to come loose.
Yeah, tarantula.
Point. You know, very important plot point there. But he's looking through Buzz's stuff. And, of course, he finds he's like, Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which was, by the way, a little boy dressed up like a girl because they thought it would be too humiliating for an actual girl to have be in that picture and him to say,
right.
Yeah, so
yeah, that makes
sense.
And
I still think that's pretty mean even for a little boy to be dressed up like a girl.
But I guess I definitely
think different era.
It was a different era. Yeah. Watching it, there was quite a few more inappropriate things that
I you know, by like today's standards, there's a couple more problematic things, but you know, he finds Buzz's inappropriate magazine.
Right.
He throws
it
away.
Right.
And then all his cash.
One. There's another strike.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But he finds all his cash, which he uses to buy pizza.
Yes. Well, he deserved it. You know, he didn't
he
get
got
his
own
cheese pizza.
Cheese pizza.
He got shafted, man.
Now I want pizza. Oh, I hope I get pizza tomorrow.
Oh, anyway. And every time that I get Little Caesars, I call it Little Nero's.
Little Nero's, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
I get
I
some
Little
Nero's.
People don't understand. They just look at me weird.
Yeah, what the heck?
Come on, it's got to be a play on Little Caesars. You
yes.
Know? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I love the Little Nero's.
You got to pay for your pizza, sir.
This, for those of you listening, he actually did the exact same face, too, as the guy from the video. That weird,
I told you this movie is awesome.
He not only can do the impression spot on, he can also do the facial expressions spot on, guys. That's how much of a Christmas.
Oh wait, that's something different.
Yeah, so that Little Nero guy, love that guy, by the way. I just don't know how they kept that. Like, they found all these weird actors to get these awesome takes of them with weird expressions in their voice, in their face, gestures. Like, there's so many weird people in this movie, and it's amazing. Love the guy.
He goes shopping, and he accidentally shoplifts his toothbrush because he sees old man Marley. So he's going. He wants a toothbrush, and they're going to check it out, see if it's approved by the ADA. And old man Marley puts a bandaged left hand down on the counter. And he just sees.
Why does he do that?
He just puts his hand on the counter, I think. That's all.
And everything's dramatic to
it's
Kevin.
It's just dramatic because it's told, you know, it's like seen from Macaulay's point of view.
Right.
And, you know, at this point, Buzz has already scared him because earlier in the movie, they saw old man Marley.
Right.
He was salting the roads, being nice. But there's rumors going on about him that he is the South Bend shovel slayer. You know, he's like telling his cousins all about it, and he's like, the salt preserves the bodies. He's like turning them into mummies.
That part is really good too, and I love the way that they're the way they're framed in
the window. Yeah, the window, it's like looking through the window frame. Yeah, yeah.
And then they get so scared when he looks.
Why didn't
at
the cops arrest him? The screech looking guy. Why didn't the cops arrest him? Like, not enough evidence.
Not
to
enough
convict.
Evidence to convict. And then it plays the Dies Irae.
Dun, 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 dun. Which I love because that slowly later on transforms into Carol of the Bells.
Yeah.
It's such a good. John Williams is a genius, man.
Yeah.
He really is a genius.
He is.
He's like, hey, that kind of sounds like this. Hey, that's. I'm sure he just saw it and realized, oh yeah, of course that's the same notes, you know.
Yeah. And then later on, you know, and then it's a Carol of the Bells, and then he turns it into his little fugue.
Yeah, fugue, yeah.
It's a short fugue, but it's fugue.
It's a great fugue, man. It's funny because one of the themes, one of the little variances in that fugue is almost exactly like the Harry Potter theme. I think I mentioned this in my last mini episode.
That's one thing. When I was listening both times. There's more than a few moments.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like Harry Potter. That sounds like Harry Potter. That
well,
like
John Harry Williams Potter. Is pretty notorious for sounding similar to himself.
Sure.
But it's also
like the Christmassy Celeste.
Yeah,
thing
it's also hard not to when you're using like, you know, Celesta and Glockenspiel. And,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's only so much you can do without sounding like it. But,
right.
But yeah, you know, in that few.
I'm not complaining. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, bum, bum, it's exciting.
Bum, 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 bum. I mean, it's very, very similar there. But anyway, so yeah. He eventually Marvin Harry, as he's walking back from getting groceries or whatever, Marvin Harry kind of run into him. He recognizes Harry from his gold tooth.
Oh, wait, before you get there.
Okay, go for it.
The van literally stops like right.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like 2 inches.
Can you do his yell? Can you do his scream?
It's one like of the fakest,
most ridiculous sounds. But like high pitch. I love that yell.
And it's so fake. It's like the fakest yell. I even as a kid, I always thought his yell was super fake. It just didn't sound authentic at all. Just like when he's when he's sliding on the ice, you know, when he's running from the cop, from the shoplifter, and he's like, whoa. That part also always sounded so fake. But,
I love it.
I loved it too, yeah. And but yeah, so he sees Marvin Harry, notices the gold tooth that he recognized when Harry was pretending to be the cop.
Right.
And so he realizes it's the same guy, gets suspicious, and you know, starts scared. So they stake out the place because, you know, they're like,
wait, you're going too fast.
Well, you know, we have a lot to get through. I want to get through all the traps.
One little part. Hold on.
Okay, go for it.
And then they follow. They're like, follow him. Let's see where he's going or whatever they say. And then there's a lot of moments in the movie that are like kind of Bugs Bunny, Looney Tunes-ish.
There are, yeah.
Like, he looks back at them because he kind of notices they're following
the van is slowly so following him.
He looks back and then he's whistling and they're looking in other directions.
Well, I love the Sandy, don't visit funeral homes, little buddy.
I know. Like, yeah. But and so then they're whistling, but
yeah,
and it's like, and then he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll. Like as if you wouldn't notice, the van's closer. Like, come on. It's so cartoony. It's so great.
See, why would he run? I knew something was wrong.
No, what? Anybody would run if you're following them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love it. I love it that there's nothing, you know, you have to suspend your disbelief so much.
And the family in Paris at the time. You know, and Uncle Frank with the shrimp, and they're watching Miracle on 34th Street, but in French. No. It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Potter.
When George is refusing Potter's offer.
Yeah. And the
like
dad,
a sick,
like,
twisted old man or something.
Parlez anglais là.
I'm looking for my son. Do you know where he is?
It's so awful.
The French mom, meanwhile, decided not to go to their brother's, the other uncle's place where all the kids are, and decided instead to you know, take an try to get a standby flight and try to get there faster. Doesn't work, right. By the way.
Right. Spoiler alert.
But this is when we get, Megan and Buzz talking. I love this part because
I was just telling someone about this today. I was just telling someone about Buzz's horrendous counting or whatever.
He's doing a list essentially of why he's not nervous or scared for
for Kevin.
He's like he goes A.
I'm not that lucky or something. Yeah, yeah.
Two. Yeah, and D. We live on the most remote, the most boring lock on the planet.
That is amazing. And did he do that on purpose to be funny, or is that just is he dumb?
It was probably in the script, I bet, but I'm sure Buzz was just that dumb.
So Buzz is that dumb. It's not Buzz trying to be funny.
I doubt it. No. As an older brother, I can say we're not all that dumb.
Oh, I know, Mr. Physics major.
I don't know what you're talking about, but anyway. So.
Sorry,
you meanwhile, can cut that Catherine O'Hara has flown to all these different layovers just to, just to try to get to Kevin. Finally, she's in Scranton and she hitches a ride with Gus Zielinski and the Polka Kings or something like that. Polka, aka Kiss Me Polka.
John Candy.
He had 24 hours. He did it as a favor to John Hughes. And so they had him for 24 hours. They used him like almost every single hour they used him to film, which I thought was great. Which, by the way, if you guys haven't seen the Movies That Made Us on Netflix, the Home Alone episode is amazing. You should check it out. Well, the reason, he'd worked with John Candy and Uncle Buck, of course. And in fact, okay. That's how Macaulay Culkin got the job. John Hughes, when Chris Columbus was hired, he's like, John Hughes told him, you got to use Macaulay Culkin. So they auditioned a couple others.
He's in Uncle Buck.
He is, yeah.
I forgot. I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay.
But anyway, so she hitches a ride with him. And I love that part where he's like trying to get her to play the, they're just jamming out. The polka band is jamming out in the back.
Oh, my gosh.
And he tries to get her to play the clarinet, which is gross. I mean, you don't share mouthpieces and reeds. That's disgusting.
You could get COVID. Come on.
Well, nowadays. but he's like, try it. And she, has to tell him, no. But they knew each other. They had worked with each other from before. They were friends. And so they just had some great chemistry together. A lot of that was improv, which I thought was kind of cool.
Oh, there you go. O'Hara and improv.
Yeah.
She's really good at that.
She's really good. I mean, that's why she always comes out in those best in show
right.
movies. Yeah. With Michael McKean. And,
but before that though, when she's at the other airport and it's the old lady and her husband.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, Ted.
Ed.
Ed. That's what it was. Oh,
and,
Ed.
And she's like, is that a real Rolex?
Do you think it is?
No.
But who can tell?
But who can tell? I love that line, too. I love when she's like, from a mother to a mother.
Oh, that was good. That's really crazy good.
It's a really, really good line. And then she's got some earrings. Oh, dangly ones. A
whole shoebox full of them, dangly ones.
Oh, and okay, we can move on. I just
Oh, all right. Yeah. So anyway, they stake out the place, realize Macaulay is all by himself. And that's when we get the whole, someone else got blown, someone blew someone else away.
He says it twice. He doesn't just say someone shot. No, they got, he blew someone else away.
Well, I mean, he did light the firecrackers, so it was a little more authentic.
So
they stake it out, realize he's home alone, devise their plan. He overhears. So he decides he's got to make a plan. Of course, he also goes to church first to get some last minute. Just needs some spiritual strength.
We're skipping so much, Jerry. We're skipping so much.
We have to, or it's going to be 2 hours long.
I like the part when they come to the window,
uh-huh.
And they look at him and
Dad,
he's like,
can you come here and help me?
It's so fake. Can you come here and help me?
And Joe Pesci just has that grin.
He's home alone. He's home alone. And, there, roll credits.
Parents got to be there too.
Alone. Roll the credits.
That's a wrap. But yeah, so he goes to the church. Old man Marley happens to be there and sits down, and he's like, turns out to be really nice. And that's when
I like that part when he comes up to him and he's like, oh, and then he's like, Merry Christmas. And he's like, huh?
Yeah. The look on his face is just priceless.
God, I love Macaulay Culkin.
I do too. It's so good.
So the old man, he's one of the best parts of the movie too.
He is, yeah.
Without that part of like the you know, the learning and the moral lesson and the growing, I think the movie would fall short.
It mirrors Kevin's own growth, because he's had to do his own laundry. You know, he was scared of the basement going down in there. But eventually he has to go down there to do his laundry, which, you know, we get that whole, you know, the basement. He's like, shut up.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get that whole bit, and he's talking with Marley about everything, about the
that he's been going through,
you know, what he's been going through, how he was scared and he ended up facing his fears.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, that's my granddaughter. Yeah, you know, one of the real reasons I'm here.
That's good. Oh, that's so good.
But he explains that it's because he and his son are estranged. They got angry, said some things they didn't mean, and
right,
you know, haven't spoken since. And so he doesn't get to see his granddaughter anymore. And so this is like the only chance he gets, watching a rehearsal. You know,
right,
while she's
right,
rehearsing for like the Christmas Eve, you know, actual, you know, mass or I think service or whatever it is. I think it's Episcopal. It was an Episcopal church.
Okay,
they shot.
Okay.
It might have been Lutheran, but it's anyway.
Beautiful church though.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. And we get the beautiful song Star of Bethlehem, which is like, I think it kind of an underrated song. Somewhere in my memory got so much hype that Star of Bethlehem got overlooked, but I actually like Star of Bethlehem better as a song.
Wait, which one is that? I don't remember.
Star of Bethlehem, shine.
Oh, right. Okay. The world, so that's one of the songs they sing. They sing O Holy Night.
O Holy Night also, which is gorgeous. It's
a great
rendition, and Carol of the Bells, which segs into his feud.
Right.
But essentially, they give each other courage, him and Marley. You know,
yes.
Them to,
it's good, you know, male encouragement.
Yeah, yeah.
Male bonding.
Positive role model. Yeah, yeah. Positive male role models there. And so that's when he's like, you know, it's my house. I have to defend it. And he unveils his plans, which I love. I love that he had time to create all plans and set up all these traps. Like, these things, I mean, I think they would take quite a while to set up, but somehow he manages to do it.
So the sun had already gone down. Yeah. So it was probably at least 5:30 or 6. Right.
You can say that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's winter. So yeah. And it's in our time zone, central. So by about 5:30. Yeah. Yeah. 5:30 to 6 is when it would go down. Yeah. So you're right.
Right. And then
about 3 hours, I think.
Okay. Let's say 3 hours. That's a lot to do in 3 hours.
That's a lot to do.
Unless he had already done some prep. Maybe we didn't get to see.
That's true. He could have already drawn those plans out. Yeah. Like before, in between,
right,
overhearing them. Yeah, yeah.
And got some stuff ready to go.
You might have, yeah, yeah.
But my friend that I watched it with had actually said every time he watches the movie, he's very frustrated and upset because he has the macaroni and he doesn't eat it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, come on. Dude. Just take a bite.
Highly nutritious meal and the people who sold it on sale. Yeah, I always hated that too. He never actually ate. So that means he probably had to go back and nuke it again after the wet bandits were arrested. Spoiler alert. They get arrested.
Many spoilers in this episode.
I know.
We never gave the disclaimer. All right, if you haven't seen the movie, go watch the movie now.
I think it's too late at this point.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Okay, so then So he's coming up with a plan. The clock strikes, which is also is very it's very oh yeah, yeah, I love that. But he makes the
meanwhile the everything's ready going around the house.
Yes, but okay. So then he finishes. He gets the macaroni ready.
Yep.
And then the bell tolls.
Tolls nine, and all of a sudden.
Oh, and so he like knows it's very time and... yeah, it's time for his fate now. and then they come and this is
no, you're like... in there, and that you're all alone.
Oh no, I'm really scared.
It's Santa Claus and his elf. I love that.
Is this the so part great. Where he puts his head, where Marv puts his head in the doggy door?
Yeah.
Is it Marv? Or, I forget the names. Who's Marv and who's Harry?
Marv is a tall one. Harry is Joe Pesci.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Marv puts his head in there.
Hello. We get
that line. Okay. One of the top three lines, four lines in the movie. Hello.
Hello. And then he shoots him.
Well, first, he's so calm.
Because he shoots him with BB guns first. You know, he
shoots him in the crotch or the leg or something. Yeah. Oh, and I can't do the.
Well, and Joe Pesci voice. Apparently found it so difficult to curse. I mean, he ended up having to make up his own, like, kind of cursed language. Like,
that's something I still do when I'm upset.
I think this movie has informed our lives. But yeah, I mean, we get like all these great traps where Joe Pesci goes around, you know, Marv goes to, you know, like the basement door. He goes to the basement door instead of the back door. Joe Pesci goes to the front. Yeah. First of all, they both slip on the ice because he's poured like, you know, gallons of water on the sidewalk. So it's all ice. So it's crazy slippery.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we don't get a lot of snow here. We get a tiny bit, but mostly we get a lot of ice whenever it does snow. And yeah, that's slippery stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the most, for us, that's when they cancel school is when there's ice on the road.
Yeah. We're from the South. We don't know how to drive in that stuff.
We have no idea how to deal with that.
I love that bit. First of all,
And the crowbar, Marv is trying to open the thing with the crowbar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it turns out it's open. But I love he like two or three times, he like just jams it in the side and he's like trying to pry it open. And
he's slipping around. He's like, whoop. Falls down.
Joe Pesci finally makes it. He goes to open the doorknob, but he had placed
I don't even know what that is, a hot iron or...
Yeah, yeah, he places it there on the doorknob. So he burns his hand, and so he's got the M, and, you know...
I don't know, I can't do the noises.
the screams are, like, the best. it makes me sound terrible. But you know what I mean? It's, like, the most...
oh, my gosh, the M.
Outlandish, yeah.
It looks so gross on his hand. Like, oh... That sucks.
Well, I love how Marv finally gets in and he goes to turn on a light and he hears something coming down, falling down the shaft, you know, and he opens it up and sure enough, it's an iron that bops him in the face. he's got the imprints of the iron on his face.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
I love it because at this point, all the heart and everything, and even for all that, it kind of devolves into just a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's the brilliance of it. Yeah.
There's little bits and pieces of cartooniness throughout the movie, but then this part, just straight up, like nobody's dying. I'm pretty sure Harry would have a concussion, some brain damage, maybe.
No, he would be dead.
Yeah.
His face, skull would be cracked and his face would be crushed.
And that's a really smart trick, too. Like, I would have never thought of that.
I wouldn't have thought of that either.
A fake light. Like, but that's amazing.
That wasn't the only thing he did. He also put tar on the steps.
And that part's hard to watch. Oh, yeah. Stepping on a nail.
Threw some sandpaper there. And he tarred that, you know, to the step. And so Marv, as he's going up, his shoes and socks are getting stuck.
That part, like, what?
Yeah, it's tar, you know, it's sticky. So it's like getting stuck. So he has to take them off to keep moving, and it gets stuck. He steps on that nail, it goes right through his foot. And again, another great scream, and he just like falls backwards down all those steps.
Yep. Yeah, and then he gives up on that.
So he gives up. And he decides he's going to go done. Through the window. Yeah,
and then Harry
at this point goes in through the back door. He goes back to the back.
And this is probably my favorite gag, is the fire. He opens to the head.
Yeah,
and the shot of him close up and his face
just as the fire is,
and he doesn't like just immediately move. He stays there.
It's the shock. He's in shock.
His face is amazing. It's like, for me, it's the best gag in the movie. I love that gag.
And then he goes and he puts it. He runs and puts his head in the snow. Which a similar thing happens to him in part two, except he dips his head in the toilet.
The toilet, right.
Does a handstand.
Yeah. So at this point, I start really understanding that these criminals are insane, because I would have left already. I'm like, okay, not worth it.
Yeah.
My head literally, like, I need to go to the emergency room.
I've got third degree burns on my
hand. Two of them on my hand, on my head.
I think the hand is just a second degree burn.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
No, I don't know either. Yeah, so they're pretty much insane.
So Marv goes around. He goes in through the window. He's like, Harry, I'm coming in. And he steps on all the ornaments because he's barefoot at this point, which I love, because he plans it in such a way that they would have had to. It's only effective if they had actually gone in through his sequence.
Yeah. Again, it's.
Suspension of disbelief.
I have to suspend my disbelief more in this than like Star Trek or Star Wars.
And yet, I love it so much more than those.
Yeah, it's Christmas though, so it's
fine. True. Yeah, but so he steps on all the ornaments, you know, which were really just made out of sugar and didn't hurt at all. But apparently, you know, in the movie, they're actually, you know, glass
and stuff.
And so he's like, ow. he goes in. Harry at this point gets fed up, like bursts, he kicks down the door, and he's like,
and when he's checking the handle, this is before, but he's
like, I know you're in here, kid.
He goes,
and it's too late for you now, kid. We're already in the house or whatever. And so Kevin has set up another gag where, you know, Harry goes through the door, gets like some sort of saran wrap full of like glue face, pulls it off, and then as he goes forward, he's feathered. Yeah, a fan blows the feathers into his face, so he's essentially feathered.
So Marv got tarred, Harry got feathered.
Yeah, there you go. And they meet each other. He's like, you know. Why the hell are your shoes off? Or he's like, why the hell are you dressed like a chicken? Like, and of course, Kevin taunts them to go upstairs, and they slip on the micro machines. Another great gag.
What does he say for them to go upstairs?
I'm up here, you horses.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Something like that.
Another thing, like every time he's talking to them, like it's so fake. Like everything he says is so fake.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just because he was a child actor, or I don't know if that's what he's supposed to be doing. Like if that's just his personality. Like,
well, I know the line, you guys give up or you thirsty for more, was actually improvised.
Really?
Yeah.
By this child.
Yeah.
That's so impressive.
Yeah. It's just, oh man, it's so good. And
you know, so they go upstairs.
They get bopped with the paint cans.
Paint cans, classic.
One of them knocks Harry's tooth out of his mouth. That's when we get the classic, hey, "Ooh, you're missing some teeth." But my gold tooth. It's classic line.
You did that so well.
Oh, thank you. But of course, while that's happening, he Kevin goes into a room, calls the cops, sees him coming up the stairs finally.
And okay, here's the thing. It took me so long. I finally understand why he's like, he goes, my name is Murphy. Yeah. And I just thought he was just saying some random name. I didn't understand like why, but it's because the neighbors are the Murphys.
Yeah. Yes, that is correct.
But see, I've seen this so much as a kid, and like I didn't really understand.
Question a lot. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, now I get it.
Yeah,
I just thought it was funny.
So he of course goes back across the landing there, and they're starting to come up the stairs. Harry's about to get him, but he trips. Marv kind of jumps over it and like catches his pant leg. He's like, "I got him, Harry, I got him, Harry." But luckily, and this is just one of those Deus Ex Machinas, you know, that we get.
Sure.
We have the tarantula.
It's a great setup, actually.
Loves his tarantula. Really like he grabs him. Yeah, I mean, they kind of tease that he's been all around the house, but it just luckily he's there within reach. He grabs him, puts him on on Harry's and we get like the greatest cinema scream of all time.
Yeah, amazing.
And he like just kind of throws him. And I guess they really did put the tarantula on his face.
Sure.
So yeah, I would totally scream as well.
That's freaky. It's not venomous though, right?
No. I think they took out the poison sacs, but anyway, it landed on Harry, and so Marv is gonna like kill it. He's got his crowbar. He's like, "Harry, don't move."
Yep, and here's the cartoon comedy doing, again. Yeah, this is the cartoon comedy.
And so he, yeah, of course,
Marv.
Marv, what are you doing?
But don't move.
He smacks him in the chest. He's like, "Oh!" I love how he just gets up and takes the crowbar from him and just starts whacking him.
How did you like it?
And with this gives Kevin enough time to go upstairs and go through, you know, take his little, I don't even know what you call it.
By the way, like this is one of my favorite things about the board game was that they had all the little gadgets.
Oh, you could do it. Yeah.
Little zip line.
The zip line. That's what it's called.
They had it in the board game too. And you could take it to go to the treehouse.
To the treehouse. Yep. And so he does, he takes it to the treehouse and they're like, you know, he taunts them, of course. And so they're like going to go back down. He's like, wait. That's what he wants to do. Get all tore up going through his fun house.
Okay, no. Guys. This is possibly the worst decision that you made.
Yes, they decide to climb,
decisions.
To climb the rope. They're gonna
That's what he wants us to do.
All the way to the treehouse. He cuts the rope.
Exactly. I mean, they already knew like where they can exit and where they could enter. Yeah. They could have just gone back down. Like, there's no more. Like, I don't get it. He's not in the house anymore.
Yeah. Well, they don't know. You know, in their mind, he's got more fun traps for them, and so so they make that choice. He cuts it, and they of course hit the wall. Oh, I love it. Yeah. And I'm glad. I know we're getting like crazy detailed, but this is like the best part of the whole movie. You gotta get detailed to it.
What does he say? He's like, "Hey guys, look." What does he say?
He's like, doesn't he say something like, "You guys give up?
Watch this."
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Guys, watch this. Back, go back.
Oh, man.
He cuts it. They, of course, fall, and they run into the into the brick wall and fall down, and they're just in the snow. But they see him running into a house. He goes down into the cellar thinking they're going to follow him. But they don't. They go through the front door and surprise him. So they catch him. They're about to do horrible things. You know, what are we going to do to him, Harry? Smash his face with an iron, you know, blow his head with a blowtorch, you know.
Another thing that I never understood was why the water was why the basement was filled with water.
That was one of the houses they robbed.
Right.
The wet bandits. The house they were in. Their whole MO was that they would rob a place. Well, Marv's MO, and he would leave the water running.
Yeah, Harry didn't agree with it.
Yeah.
Because Harry, I think Harry was like, "Yeah, it's sick. Like, I just want to take their stuff. Like, he's actually doing extra damage to the house for like no apparent reason.
For no reason. Yeah. Which is, and then later on, I mean, as the cops even point out when they come later on, great move, leaving the water running. Now we know each and every house you hit.
Yeah. And Harry's so upset.
Yeah. Easy on the head, pal. But yeah, so they've got him. They grab him and hang him up on like a hook, you know, like a coat hook or something. And so they're about to, I don't know,
give him bite the business, off his fingers.
They're about to bite off his fingers. Yeah, that's what Harry wants to do when old man Marley shows up with his shovel and just whacks him on the back. And I guess that was finally the thing after all that trauma that they've already endured to knock him out.
And yeah, well, it was an adult dealing with him at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
The adult knocked him out.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think a iron to the face would do it.
Well, maybe you ever think maybe some of those booby traps were overdone in his mind? If we're getting a lot of stuff through his, although he wasn't down there, but you know, maybe everything is kind of through his point of view.
Maybe, I don't know.
And then Marley came and saved the day.
All I know is he goes to bed, wakes up the next day, doesn't see anybody.
Oh, and it's real sweet. He kisses the picture.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, by the way, yeah, and we missed it. We skipped over, but he had visited a Santa.
And asked for this family back.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want, you know, any presents this year. I just want, and he names, of course, all his family members. And if you have time, my Uncle Frank.
I would say the same thing, too.
Yeah.
And he got some of those
a little extra mints. Mojo. A little extra mojo.
The little mints. What are they called?
Tic
Tacs.
Like the elves took all the candy canes home to her boyfriend. Like, no. He's like, that's okay. No. Yeah, everyone gets something when they see that. So he gives him some Tic Tacs. Yeah. But yeah, so he had asked essentially just for his family back because he realized that family's important and he misses them. And so they show up the next morning. And mom, you know.
Something that I also never understood was I only thought Buzz was his brother. I didn't think he had any other brothers and sisters. And
no, those now, that was that's like his family.
Yeah, I understand. It's the
all the other cousins,
the Les Incompetents,
and the
Kevin, you're so helpless,
and Pete, you're such a disease. Yeah,
yeah, the Pete and Pete.
Yep, five kids in that family. Oh man, that's crazy.
I never understood that until this time. Like all these things, I never understood.
Yeah.
And then the mom comes home, and of course the John Candy tries to soothe her when they're in the U-Haul or whatever. And
I love to
tells them about the funeral parlor. kids are resilient. He was just fine after
with the stiff
6 weeks.
With the corpse.
You know, after 6 weeks, he started talking again. And then she's like, let's stop talking about this.
You brought it up.
Well, I'm sorry I did. Her voice. I love her.
Yeah,
man.
All his lines were improvised as well. I mean, they're so good together. But so she comes home. She hugs him. He's like, where's everybody else? She's like, they can't.
Sorry.
You know, they can't. They couldn't make it. And then they show up. Like, how'd y'all get here? He's like, oh, we took that flight on Friday.
Oh man, that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah.
But you know, I think she did the right thing.
She did the right thing, yeah.
There's course, no way she could have known that.
Buzz either. Gives him a compliment about it's pretty cool you didn't burn the place down. And he sees old man Marley reuniting with his son and his granddaughter.
Yep.
He knows beautiful. Everything's gonna be all right. That's and then we get the classic, Kevin, what did you do to my room?
Which is actually the line that I want to do for.
Oh, nice.
Because you remember.
I remember how you did it.
Yeah. And then the dad finds the tooth.
Oh, yeah. Honey, what's this?
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, we did in the John Candy. Another joke that I never really got was the, we're big in Sheboygan. And then Sheboygan, he's like, we sold like, what did he say? Like 500 something.
500, or... Like 500 copies. Something like that. Yeah.
That must be the Tejano of the
polka.
Yeah. The Tejano of the North
I guess so.
Mid, whatever it's called.
These are our songs. So, you know, what would you say if you could, and I know we could go on talking about it and we can give them a bunch more trivia and everything, but what would you say would be your happiest memory or moment in this movie?
Of
Home Alone.
Of like a memory with it?
Yeah, memory or moment, whichever you'd prefer.
Memory is just probably me, you, and David, and just saying the lines. I mean, we just always said the lines.
Yeah.
All the time. And the movie is just basically filled with one-liners. So, I mean, I don't know. That's my favorite memory. I guess there is also the it's cold outside. You're feeling the heater's on watching Home Alone.
Yeah, mine would be, I remember mom would put out the colcha, you know, the blanket.
Yeah.
And put it on the floor, and we'd all just kind of be sitting around, and we'd put on some popcorn if we had any, or if we didn't, we'd eat M&M cookies.
Yep.
And just watch it. And, oh, it was so good.
And so good. You know, we did that a lot for different movies, but I really feel it
in
this movie.
Yeah, this one was, like, special.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's my happiest
moment. Nice. Well, now we come to my favorite part of the show, which is a little segment I like to call Gag Me with the Spoon. I feel like the rest of the show we kind of did to the max already. So we'll do Gag Me with the Spoon today. And so this is where we do our best impressions of our least favorite parts of the movie. And winner,
I'm not going to do least favorite.
Just get bragging rights. Well, it doesn't mean you hate it. It just means it's your least favorite.
But it's not my least favorite part.
Okay, that's fine. I'll let you go first.
I just have to do this line because I always did it.
You did it, and you always did it in such an abrupt,
one of my things. One of the things is that when I would do impressions, they were always just
super exaggerated.
Super exaggerated and didn't sound like it at all. And Jerry would always like get frustrated. And say like that's not how it sounds. Like that's what are you doing? Like that's not it at all. Like the take a shower skit from Saturday Night Live. It actually sounded like to take a shower, but I would say take a shower. So anyway, so here's the line. It's Buzz at the end of the movie saying, "Kevin, what did you do to my room?" But and Jerry, you can do the line actually afterwards. But this is my rendition.
I'm gonna let it hang. Just sit in it for a bit.
Okay, this is how I heard it as a kid. Kevin, what did you do to my room?
It sounds Hispanic.
Yeah, I think it didn't used to be Hispanic, but it slowly became Mexican. But it used to just be like, Kevin, what did you do to my room?
That's nothing like it. I think I might win one for a change. Well, my least favorite part of this whole thing is Uncle Frank. Like I always hated Uncle Frank. And agreed. So I've already kind of done it, but this time I'm really going to give it some.
Okay.
I'm really going to give it some gas here.
Well, I'm excited.
Right after the whole spilling milk scene, he goes, "Look what you did, you little jerk."
Nice.
Oh, man.
So good.
Yeah.
You do them so good, man. It's tough to compete with you.
No.
The only reason that people don't pick you is because they don't want you to get a big head.
No, I don't think so. I think generally I'm just not that good at it. But I think, it's one of those – just one of those things that you got to try your best at these impressions and because they mean a lot, you know.
Yeah, like, heck
it's
yeah.
Something that means a lot, so you do your best. But
yeah, so in that, conclusion,
that does make me
well, I was just gonna say, as a little wrap up, we barely scratched the surface on this movie, but in my opinion. Again, of course, we're always going to mention John Williams in all the movies, basically.
Yeah.
I can't say for sure that it wouldn't be good without him, but I don't know. It feels like it wouldn't be good without his music. So that's number one. Number two, the charm of this little boy. I'm so amazed that this little boy has this charm that he can improv lines, like you said. That he has these crazy screams and these facial expressions. Sometimes he deadpans. I mean, sometimes it, like he he sounds like, I don't know. It's just, he's amazing. So I really feel like that is, they struck gold with him.
A little bit.
And then a great ensemble cast of some great actors. Kathleen O'Hara, the guy who played the dad who passed away, God rest his soul. So many other great actors. Joe Pesci. I mean, it's just amazing. And then on top of it, these little tiny roles with crazy, again, weird actors. It's amazing. It's just amazing. So I love the movie. It's a very charming movie and one of my top three Christmas movies of all time.
For sure. But that does make me, I do have to ask you then, G.I. Joe taught us that knowing is half the battle. What would you say is the other half?
Am I going to go funny here? Or am I going to go?
I always go funny.
I know. That's why I always feel bad because I don't want to give like a good one, a serious one, and then you're going to steal the show with the funny one. So I guess the other half of the battle is when you have a blowtorch putting flames to your head and burning your hair off, don't stay there for like 5 seconds or 6 seconds.
That's good advice. Yeah. Don't freeze in shock.
That's definitely a time for flight.
Yes, I agree.
No, not fight, not freeze, but flight.
Well, that's definitely better than mine. Mine is, so knowing this half the battle, the other half is befriending a kindly old neighbor so he can use his shovel to protect you.
Ooh, that's a good one. In our case, it'd be Tony.
Tony, yeah, Tony would totally do it. Yeah. Oh, man, good neighbor.
Heck yeah, dude. Heck yeah. Love Tony.
So, Danny, final thoughts?
Well, I just summed them up a while ago, but yeah, it's just a really charming movie. It's well done. Lightning in a Bottle. I love it. I don't know what else to say about it, unless you guys want to have a second episode, which we definitely will have. Probably, I'm sure.
Yeah,
Lost in New York.
Yeah, we got to do part two, and then we have one just
part
on the
three.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought you were going to say, cut that, please. Cut that.
It ends on part two. Oh, man. Danny, thanks again for coming on. It's always fun talking with you.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I had a blast.
And so on that note, I'm going to end it by saying, hey, I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off to check us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling like Kevin embracing his mom on Christmas morning, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now, don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.
I'm Chris.
I'm Brian.
I'm John.
Together, we host the Yuletide TV podcast, where we're on the quest to find the best Christmas TV episodes ever made.
On our podcast, we'll recap the episode, share a little bit of our own holiday memories, and go down a few non-Christmas tangents.
And at the end, we'll let you know if what we watched is a Christmas classic, a lump of coal, or something in between.
Best of all, you can watch along with us, because we only cover episodes that are readily available on major streaming services.
We like our eggnog spikes, so get ready for some hot takes served with a healthy dose of Christmas cheer.
Tune in for our Season 2 lineup reveal on November 2nd, and then look for new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from November 23rd, which is legally Thanksgiving, until Christmas Day.
Our podcast may not be for everyone, but no matter what, we're glad you're alive.